The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Coming to you live and direct from my subterranean lair, my name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you, the different shades of me, until we are all vibrating the same frequency. I want to welcome everybody tonight. We got a beautiful show lined up and a beautiful moon out. It's in Pisces. It'll be in Aries tomorrow. And tonight, I am your guest. And beyond the realm of the mortal world, past the gates of the rising sun and moon, is the land of the Fae. The hidden dimensions, hidden timelines in a different world than this one. Are these beings of antimatter that are able to push themselves into matter on our physical world for short periods of time? We're going to uncover these stones tonight as we uncover the realm of the Fae. And I have interesting information that I've uncovered about this. And bear with me because I do have a little bit of a cold, but I'm getting through it. And maybe in our second segment tonight, we'll even open up the floor so we can do a live reading for anyone who wants one in the second half. And I want to welcome everybody listening in the chat room, everybody out there on the web, on the ParaX Radio. Thanks for joining us again. And this is an interesting topic for me that I've basically been immersed in for most of my life. And I really feel that there are unseen forces around us at all times. You know, there's different dimensions and different timelines. And some of this may be involving what mystics and Hindus call Agartha, or the inner earth. Now, there is lore of Agartha going back in all civilizations, mythology, history. I mean, if we go back to about 1920, I believe, there was this man called Admiral Byrd. And Admiral Byrd led an expedition into, you know, the poles and Antarctica, and supposedly he found an entranceway into inner earth where he saw green meadows, and inside of earth he saw rivers and mastodons and woolly mammoths and things like this that were supposed to be extinct. And he saw flying machines that are similar to what the Hindus call the Vimanas. And he explained all this, and it's been covered up for, you know, almost 100 years now. And when Admiral Byrd did this, this might be one of the most important expeditions of all time. And if anybody has a chance to look up Admiral Byrd on YouTube or research it, And you can actually find interviews with him explaining his expeditions. And tonight I also want to, you know, talk about how some of this might link into Hopi prophecy. And the Hopi also were a group of natives that during cataclysms, they were to have said to be led beneath the ground into inner earth to escape the cataclysms on earth. And afterwards, their great ancestors emerged from the underground and arose in what they see as, you know, their new world. And it was supposed to be in the Grand Canyon. And deep in the Grand Canyon, another explorer named G.E. Kincaid, he found, while I think he was like boating on the Colorado River at one time, and he found, I think this was in the early 1900s. Anyone looking on the internet right now, you could just type in, you know, the Grand Canyon, G.E. Kincaid. You'll find the story how he was boating on the Colorado River and came across a cavern deep inside, and a cave deep inside the Grand Canyon. And in this cave, he found basically statues of giants, mummies, similar to Tibetan and Buddhist artifacts, stuff that was not supposed to be in America, you know, on this side of the land, and just proves that we have no idea what our true history is. We have basically been given amnesia in a way, and we've been brainwashed and programmed and mind controlled by the TV and the media and everything to show us what they want to our history to be. So I really think that if anything, if you don't believe some of the topics that we talk about here on Spiral Radio, at least let it intrigue you enough to do your own research and to go out there and explore your own hidden mysteries that are in each one of us. And I really feel that we have all of our hidden mysteries, all of our hidden pasts, all of our hidden experiences, trauma, joy, pain, everything that our ancestors have experienced in the old times, we have that hidden within us, ready to be awakened inside of our DNA. And we have all of that within us. If you just tap into your consciousness and the genetic memory of the world and yourself, and you will start to unveil the true history of yourself and your ancestors. Now, the realm of the Fae and these hidden dimensions and timelines, I really feel, are these beings that we classify as the Fae. If you go back in time, you could find different beings that are classified in this category, maybe like dwarves and all these different types of red-capped beings, even Pukwudgies and all different names of these beings that are almost like tricksters. And over time, fairies or fae have gotten this beautiful, cute little lore about them where people think it's a wonderful thing. But what have I found out about these fae is that even if you are having a good encounter with them, and say they're helping you, you evoke them, or you had some kind of encounter where they're helping you with your garden, or they're doing some kind of work for you, there's a price to be paid for everything. Anytime you evoke a spirit or use something in a magical way, there is always a price. It's not just a one-off. You don't just grant it a favor. There is always some kind of something owed, some kind of energy exchange. And when you open yourself up and you welcome certain entities to your consciousness and your psyche, and you're not prepared for this, and you're not grounded in a certain way, and you have no idea what you're dealing with, then you can open yourself up to these lower astral realms and these lower astral beings that, if you look up Kabbalah, they call these beings the Tacutonim, beings that can only experience the lower astral realms, and they cling on you and they want to experience life in the physical realm. So they feed on the emotions and they feed on everything that sparks energy from your body in the physical plane. And by doing this, you keep their stay in this realm alive. You know, when they're feeding on you, you're like a battery for them, and they're keeping your, you know, memories and all, like, say, for instance, if an event happens in your life and it's a traumatic event, they'll keep that event alive in you, in your brain, manifesting like an implanted memory where it grows and festers and it clings to you. And these are trickster beings. And over the course of tonight, I will also explain some or show you some of the mythology I've dug up in Etruscan lore with encounters with these fae. And I myself have been a part of this because I really feel that this all ties into some missing persons and all types of encounters, anomalous activity that's happening all over the world can be tied into these fae and inner earth and what's going on. Because I really feel that even a lot of the UFOs, a lot of the activity that we think is extraterrestrial is actually happening from inner earth and actually happening from beings that I classify as the fae. And if you look back in lore, even the greys or the grey aliens can be classified as the fae, some sort of tricksters that play with you while you're asleep. You wake up and they're hovering over you and they're playing with you and you know, some kind of, you know, experiment done to you astrally. And this could all go back to some kind of fae lore. And they're like Sai is saying in the chat room, there are all sides and types of these beings and species as well. And I agree to this. And, you know, not all beings are negative. There are some benevolent beings. But in my opinion, any extraterrestrial or interdimensional beings that are having contact with people on Earth, especially channelers that are experiencing extraterrestrial beings, I really feel there is some sort of hidden agenda undertone to the encounter. And I feel from what I've been able to pull in and what I've been able to experience throughout my life that extraterrestrial beings that are contacting Gaia or Earth or in its inhabitants are basically rogue because they have all been forced. Anybody aware of our galaxy, any people outside of Earth that's actually having contact with its inhabitants have gone against a treaty. There are supposed to be watchers over our race, watchers over our species, and they were supposed to never intermingle with our inhabitants and get involved directly. They were only supposed to watch over us and not directly interact or get involved with our species. So those that are interacting with us and basically trying to conduct us like an orchestra and, you know, weaving the web of our life can be attributed to these fae or the fata. The name fae or the fates comes from the term fata, which means the fates, to be of the fates. And the fates were known to be the ones that spin and weave the blueprints and the pattern of people's lives. When we're born, we are laid out a spiritual blueprint of our life, you know, of our life. And we spiritually ascend with this blueprint as we go along. And now certain life events might take place to throw us off course, you know, but we have a sort of spiritual blueprint we're supposed to follow in a way and achieve in this incarnation. And if we don't, we are sort of recycled in a way to achieve it in another incarnation. And I truly believe this. And you don't have to have the same beliefs as me, but I really encourage you all to do your own research about this. And you see, the fae are said to be, you know, outside of our realm. And they are said to move so fast when they're in this realm that it seems that they have wings because they can move across the forest so fast and with so quick speed that it appears that they're moving so fast that they have wings. And I found this really interesting when I heard that. And I believe that almost every forest, rainforest, anything out there that is a wooded area has entranceways to the realms of the Fae. And I encountered something like this in my life as well. And you see, I'm trying to read the chat room now. Hold on, let me see what they say. Yeah, you know, it is similar to the hummingbird speed. Yeah, that is. But I really feel that the woods all contain entranceways to these realms. And if you guys look up, I'm going to see if I can have him on the show, actually, eventually, David Politis. He does documentaries and he does radio shows. He's a guest on shows. And he does something called Missing 411. And I think he actually was either a police officer or some kind of detective at one time. And he started coming across missing people cases in national parks, in forests, in wooded areas. And they all started to have similar details to the missing people, right? So... And this is going to lead into an encounter that I had as well, where it was very similar. And so a lot of these missing people are just going vanishing off the face of the earth in national parks, in the woods. And I believe that you can get caught in alternate dimensions, in alternate timelines, by almost getting invited and lured and enchanted in a way into these realms. And you can almost get drawn to the energy in the forest and slip into a different dimension. And people can be looking for you on this physical plane, calling your name even. And you can hear them in the distance calling you. But you're behind this veil. And you see, the light of this world reflects supposedly in the realms of the Fae. And it's a realm that resembles the lands and the waters in this mortal world, in this physical world, and its day and night does have seasons like us, and the sun and the moon and the stars are seen above and overhead of us all, but they are reflections from this mortal realm. You know, the light in the fairy world is from the land within the realm itself, and an energy that emanates from all things. If you go to author Raven Grimassi, he is also a Strega, and he talks about the Fae in some of his books as well. And I used some of this as a source for tonight for some of my information. And I've also used Charles Leyland, who is an author from the late 1800s, for some of my material. And also Carlo Ginzburg, who is also an author and talks about the Strega as well. And one group of fairies came to be called the Lantra as well. And these Lantra are known to be called the Keepers of the Star Lantern. And this lantern contained a light like the stars in the sky that could never be put out. And it came from a star. And it actually illuminates even the darkest of places. And it is called the light-bringing star of the nocturnal mysteries. And this star queen that is in Fae lore, her name was Califera. And she was from the great night sky. And the Lantra were sworn to be the keepers of this star lantern and to bear all against all who wish to block out the light and leave only darkness. And the Fae are known to be people of the blue flame. And the lore behind this says that a rapid fanning or flickering blue fire showed from behind the Fae when they appeared in the mortal realm. And this fire, because they move so fast throughout the forest, people mistook this phenomenon for them having wings. And so in the legend, the Fae are often depicted as having wings, and the Fae require a blue flame in order to travel from this realm and back again. So, you know, these Fae have sort of what I call an astral or soul technology. And when you get enchanted towards this technology, it activates things in the astral realm. And, you know, there's incantations that I feel can be talked about as technology on the astral plane. When you're using symbols or sigils or things like this to manifest things and to activate something on the astral plane, it's a form of technology or magic. You know, magic is basically a form of high astral technology that is so amazing to us, it seems like magic. You know, that's what magic is. It's a basically a technology that is just so high and so amazing, it seems like magic to us. Just like I've said it before, just like if we go with our iPhone or our Android and we go back 10, 20, 30, 40 years, right? They'll think we have a magic wand in our hands that can answer all questions, can do basically anything in a few seconds, you know, and that's what I feel. What we think is magic is basically just sort of some sort of technology on another plane of existence, or even in this physical plane, that is so, you know, out there to our minds and so shocking to our consciousness that we feel it's magic. And so I'm interested, Sai, in the chat room. They're saying how they don't all move so fast. Some of them are lumbering as well. And I'm interested if you can share some of your experiences with me as well. You know, maybe I can even have you on sometime to talk about this, because I'm really interested in this. If you guys go on YouTube, you can find me at Exploring the Ka with Ra Castaldo. Or if you go to themysticalspiral.com, on my website, you can find it as well. I have what's called the Fae Chronicles and also what's called the Naga Files, where I go through encounters from other people, all types of mythology, all types of, you know, stories. You know, basically, I uncover the hidden mysteries within our Ka, our human eternal spirit. And, you know, I basically put daily videos up there that involve all these topics that we talk about here on the whole of Para X Radio, all of paranormal and esoteric occult topics. And Exploring the Ka is the YouTube, and the Mystical Spiral is the website. So you can also find me on the Para X Radio Network website as well. And I have some interesting encounters that I'm going to speak out after we get back from break. But until break, you know, I really want to talk about how I really feel that a lot of times these missing people are getting caught in these alternate dimensions and alternate timelines. In the Book of Enoch, he talks about the 12 winds and their portals. I spoke about this in brief detail with Gary Wayne, my guest Gary Wayne, a few weeks ago, how I feel Enoch is describing time gates, excuse me, and portals that are basically some kind of defense mechanism to Inner Earth or Agartha on all corners and all entrance ways to Inner Earth, or what Hindus call Agartha, or what people have called Shambhala, or there's all types of lore for Inner Earth, or, you know, below. And I feel it's basically like a paper towel roll from pole to pole. If you say there's, you know, like an entranceway in Antarctica, or there's some sort of entranceway at the poles, it's basically like a tube running from the North Pole to the South Pole, with all these little caverns dug in the sides, with crystal caverns that's been untouched, and the lore of the Naga, where they have crystal caverns. This all comes from there. In Hindu, they call the underworld for the Naga, are these serpent beings. Their underworld is called Patala. And Patala is said to be like a crystal caverns where they have massive deposits of gold, and they are master alchemists and masters at genetic engineering and interdimensional travel and interdimensional technology. And I feel that all these entranceways to Agartha or Inner Earth are surrounded by these time gates, by these portals, that if you're not invited into them, into Inner Earth or Agartha or to these realms, that you end up on alternate timelines in altered dimensions, probably could be possibly trapped there for eternity. And like I said, you could be there in where time is not passing like it's passing on our physical plane. On our physical plane, we have the barriers of time, of past, present, and future. We have seconds, minutes, hours. It's all controlled by time. On other realms of existence, we are not constricted by time. See, time and the barriers of the time is what makes our physical and mortal realm what it is. And when time was invented, I really feel that that's when fear was also installed into our atmosphere and in our consciousness. And when fear is installed into our consciousness, it manifests things inside our body and chemicals spread. And when that manifests, it can manifest things on our astral plane as well. So when you are involved with always occupying your time with basically toxic things, then toxic things will happen on the astral realm as well. And I really feel that these fae or these fata, they lure people to these realms so they can experience the physical plane, and so they can feed and piggyback on our existence in this physical world. And almost like a vampiric consumption of energy on the physical plane. And these fae or fata are basically, I could put it like this. A mortal in the fae cannot see this fae as moving or having motion like we do. The eyes of mortals cannot like fix on the movements of time instead of what becomes of time. Mortals see things how they were, not where they are. And by doing so, they become subject to the barriers of time. And the barriers of time are known as the terms of past, present, and future. And this is what happens on the physical plane. We become subjected to the barriers of time. And when we're on these fey realms or in these fey dimensions, time is passing in a different way. You can get caught in these dimensions and feel like you're there for 5 minutes, and it could be 5 days on the physical plane. And when we come back from break, we're going to discuss an encounter that I had with, I feel, a fae dimension or an alternate dimension when I was in Long Beach, California in 2002. And I basically, in the Cesar Chavez Park, stepped into some sort of portal that led me to another dimension of the park. And I did make it back to the physical plane, obviously, but I lost a day and a half's time when I was only gone for like a few minutes that I remember. And when we come back from break, we will discuss this encounter and some Etruscan, mythology and stories that I've dug up from encounters with the fae. This song is called Lustration by Bring the Dawn. Spiral out.
at home, at work, or anywhere. Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we are back, and I hope I blew some of those congestion out of my nose, and I'm sounding a little bit more clear. Thank you. My name is Ra, and this is Spiral Radio, and you can find me at themysticalspiral.com. And those songs that you just heard were, one was performed by me and my old band, and the name of the song was called Lustration. And the second clip you heard was called Oversouls by my good buddy Ricky and Far Radio Clouds. And before we left, we were talking how we can get caught in alternate dimensions and alternate timelines. And I'm glad certain people have just joined the chat and are just here to talk of this encounter that I'm about to experience, because, you know, out of all the radio shows that I've been a guest on and all of the shows that I've been invited on in the past, I've talked about this encounter on those shows, but, you know, it's funny that I've never talked about this encounter on my own show that I've had while in Long Beach. And what I now, after all these years, have come to figure out that most likely I was in an alternate dimension and an alternate dimension of our physical world, a reflection of our physical world. Just like I explained before, how the Fae realm can be a reflection of our realm, where it sees this, we see the same things, the same rivers, the same lake, the same stars, the same sky, but it's a reflection of our world or a different dimension of our physical plane. And to make a long story short of this, you know, I'll give as much detail as I can and sum it up as quickly as I can. Like you guys have heard my story before, how I basically ended up in Long Beach, California. It was really like a spiritual journey that I went on. And in my family line, we are called the Benendante. And the Benendante are basically astral warriors, and we fight spiritual battles to help cleanse the collective consciousness of our surroundings, our loved ones, ourselves, and all of the inhabitants on our world and in our specific villages we live in, and things like this. And on certain days of the year, the Ember days, we would fall into a trance and our souls would leave our body. And we would go into these astral battles to defend the harvest, to defend the crops for that year, and to try to stop people from stealing the abundance of Gaia and hurting our material plane. So certain abilities were, I feel, awakened within me when I had a near-death experience when I was little, and certain traits that were in my lineage, I feel, were awakened in me. And one of these traits is being a guardian of a portal. In Lake Nemi in Italy, my ancestors for thousands of years have been guarding this lake, and what lies beneath, we believe, is a portal, an interdimensional gateway to both the lunar realms and the astral realms. And this Lake Nemi has also been known in our family lore to, beneath it, to lie an astral prison for certain entities, possibly some of the entities that were either called fallen angels or Goetia daemons or demons. And when I was in Long Beach, I feel, because of my genetics and because of my family history, somehow I was more drawn, or more, I don't know the word I want to use, but I was basically able to tap into what was in this park easier, I feel. And over a course of a few months, I feel like I built up the ritual of what led me into going into this alternate dimension. And I was living in Long Beach, California for those 2 years. And while I was there, it was supernatural encounter after supernatural encounter. And I was basically going through my Benendante calling, they call this. When someone is in their early 20s and they are of Benedante lineage, they experience a spiritual calling where they'll almost hear a warrior drumbeat even in their minds, where they're like lured to spiritual encounters and to get on their spiritual journey in life and to, you know, start to unravel the hidden mysteries and the hidden realms within all of us. And I feel that this Benedante calling is what was happening to me when I was led to Long Beach. So to get to this encounter, it was one of three successive nights where I had something really intense happen to me. And this park is called Cesar Chavez Park in Long Beach. And it's on 1st and Golden till 4th and Golden, or 5th and Golden, from 1st Street to like 4th or 5th Street. And it's on Golden Avenue. And this park is a really mysterious park. You can see it. I have it on different social medias of mine. I have the picture of the bird's eye view from Google Earth. And some of the park is laid out in like the Fibonacci spiral. And there's also a mysterious circle that looks like an energy circle kind of pattern at the beginning of the park. And I feel this is what activated the sort of portal that I stepped in. And, you know, it sounds crazy and it sounds strange when you hear me talk about it. But maybe at the end of the story, you'll start to warm up to the fact that this really happened, because I really, it changed even my body chemistry, and certain nerves and certain feelings and touches feel different on my skin. And my body was depleted from this as well. And I lost a day and a half's time, and I was very sucked in and pale, and it looked like I haven't eaten in days after this experience. I was really drawn to this park right off the jump. I lived on 4th Street, only a few blocks up. So on a daily basis, I was drawn to this park for a few months. And I used to go in there with my guitar and my acoustic guitar and play. And I wasn't the only one drawn to this park. There was all types of people drawn to this park. I saw people like doctors, lawyers, homeless, all types of people would be drawn to this park and just end up sleeping on the grass and just would end up just being there and like drawn to it. And this is, like I said, like it's some sort of energy circle. And it's like a circle within a circle within a circle, some sort of like maze looking circle. And inside of it, there's poems written in it. And alongside of it are benches with these sort of like tarot cards painted on, but they're actually from the Loteria, which is like a Mexican game children play. It's popular on the West Coast. It's sort of like a life lottery bingo game, and it's called the Loteria. But a lot of these Loteria cards look like tarot cards. They have the El Corazon, the heart on it. They'll have the Calavera, the skull, and Muerte, the card of death, Diablito, the little devil, all these kinds of cards which are similar to tarot cards. And they have these painted on the benches there as well. So it's a very mysterious and sort of, you know, metaphysical type of park, the way it's just designed. And like I said, people get drawn to this park. And after the encounter that I had, I actually was talking to an older lady who was the landlord of a apartment complex across the street, and she was well aware that this park contained portals and that people need to beware of them. When I explained my story, instead of telling me that I was crazy and I was a nut, she actually looked at me and smiled and told me, "Oh my God, you know about the portals in that park." And, you know, what happened to me was really intense, and I'll try to explain it in most detail right now. So I was drawn to this park for months, and every day when I walked into the park, it was like a ritual. I would walk around that energy circle a certain way a couple of times, then I would sit on the benches and play my music, sort of like I'm evoking something in a way. And I had no clue what I was doing, actually. Like, I had no concept that anything was going to take place eventually. I just felt drawn to this park for some reason. And I would always go there either by myself or with my friend James, who was also drawn to this park. And Long Beach in general is like a place for lost souls. I mean, it really is like lost, the lost angels, Los Angeles, because it's like all people that are trying to find their way in life and, you know, find, you know, their place in the world and go on spiritual journeys and just runaways, homeless. There's like a weird mix, drug addicts, all types of gang members. There's a huge gay community. It's such a weird, interesting mix of souls in Long Beach that I really feel there's some type of energy drawing and enchanting these people to go there. And when I came to Long Beach, I came spur of the moment. I left New York with the clothes on my back from the Port Authority on a whim, and I took a bus as far as I can go. I needed a boat to go any further. I went from New York to Long Beach, 16th and Long Beach, which is like where the Greyhound drops you off. I went from 41st Street in the Port Authority all the way to 16th Street in Long Beach. It was like 4 days and three nights out of nowhere. Like, I told my family I was going to the store to get something. I don't know whether it was like cigarettes I, you know, smoked at the time, and whatever I told my family I was going to do, I was supposed to be back in a few minutes, and I went to Long Beach. So like whatever lured me out there was so strong in me. It was like a spiritual calling. And as soon as I got there, the encounters happened. So like I said, I was walking around this energy center every day for a couple times, playing my guitar, all that. Okay, so lead it up to the day where this happens. I'm supposed to meet my friend James in the park in about a half an hour. So I just got out of the shower, and I had this feeling come over me where it was like I needed to be in this park. It wasn't like I even thought about it. I actually, when I was putting on my clothes after the shower, I was putting my clothes on like I was putting on like some kind of tribal uniform. Like, I remember getting dressed in the mirror like I was putting on some kind of like war, like some kind of Native American warrior garb. Like, I was putting on like my necklace and like some kind of like wristband I had on my arm, and it was like I was putting on some kind of armor to go to like a spiritual battle. I remember feeling that way as I was getting dressed. And as I was walking down 4th Street towards Cesar Chavez Park, you can see the park all the way down from where I was. I was just my eyes on the sky, just walking like some kind of tribal soldier towards the park. Like, I knew something was about to take place, and I knew I had to be in that park. And like I was saying, I was walking my eyes on the sky on sort of tribal mission. And while I was walking towards the park, I'm going through some kind of spiritual turmoil, some kind of spiritual battle. Like, when I was living out in Long Beach, I was living pretty poor. You know, I was I did have an apartment that I was staying in that I was sharing with other people, but I was pretty much living day to day, right? So, and I was a young kid in my early 20s, you know, so I was walking towards this park, and I'm looking down at my clothes and looking at myself, and I'm starting to freak out, and I'm starting to say, you know, I don't think I bought these sneakers. I think I don't even know where I got these sneakers. I kick my sneakers off, right? I kick my socks off. And then I look at my shirt. I'm like, wow, this is my friend James's shirt. I never even bought this shirt. In fact, I don't think I even asked him if I could wear this shirt. So I took my shirt off. I threw my shirt off, right? And so I'm basically now just standing in my – I had taken my pants off, and I was just in like gym shorts. It wasn't like I was wearing underwear, but I had like gym shorts on. And I'm just wearing gym shorts now by the time I get to the park and nothing else. So I'm practically naked by I get to the park. And it's, you know, hot out anyway, so it wasn't like I was way out of the where people were staring at me, because it wasn't like – but I'm sure they were, because it was like I was on a mission. I was walking really fast. I was in my gym shorts, and I'm walking towards this park like serious, you know. And so – by the time I get to the park, like I said, I'm in just my gym shorts, and I really feel that the fact that I was barefoot and all of this, that would actually, if I wasn't barefoot and everything, I don't think this encounter would have actually happened. I would have actually, it like was part of the technology of this portal. And even my friend Masaki, we've researched this afterwards and really spent some time trying to figure what happened to me out. And he even said that me being barefoot probably was a really important aspect of this encounter, you know. And so when I walked into the park, I walked straight for that energy center. And I started walking around it a few times, you know, like the same way I would every day. And, you know, I was really going through some type of, like, life review as well at the time. Like, I was really, like, muttering to myself, telling me that I can't lie anymore. You know, I'm starting different lies I've ever, you know, told in my life and different things that I've deceived people with and this and that. They were all coming to my head and everything was being reviewed. I was going through a life review basically. And I was walking through this energy center, and as I'm walking around it a few times, I see like a shimmering mirror type thing in the shape of an Ankh, like maybe 30 or 40 feet ahead of me towards the back of the park. Now, this is broad daylight, full park, children are playing on the swings. There's some kind of activities they have like some kind of amphitheater or something, some kind of thing there. There's after school activities there. It's a full park during the day. There was like a booth where people had lemonade and iced tea and things like that. It's an active park, especially during the summer. They have festivals there. And there's like a strong Filipino presence in that area. There's a lot of apartment complexes that have a lot of Filipino people. And there at this time, at that day, there was a lot of for that few weeks, there was a lot of Filipino activities there where there were a whole bunch of kids from that were all Filipino, were all over the place playing. So I remember it being a full park and, like, you know, kids playing. So I'm walking by these people like they don't exist. And this thing was in the same exact shape of my body. It was like the best way I could describe it is like it was the same. It was see-through, like it was like the air, but the air had a little bit of a gel type mirror effect to it. And almost like almost like it was water in the air, you know, and it was in the shape of an Ankh, basically. It had a loop at the top that was like the shape my head could go into. It had arms out that my arms can go into, that if I went out, like if I was in the crucifix position and my arms out, it had arms out like that, and it had a base going down that my feet could go, like my legs can go into. And for some reason, I was very enchanted and drawn, and I knew that I had to walk into this with my arms out like that and just walk into it like that. So I just got drawn to this, and I don't know how much time passed. It was probably like a few seconds before I actually got to it. But as I'm walking to it, like I'm pretty sure that nobody else saw this in the whole park but me. And I was the only one that saw this, and it was in my mind that was there for me, and it was for me to walk into. So I walked towards this, and it wasn't even like anything at all like in my mind. It was like I had to walk into it, and as soon as I walked into it, it was instantly. It was a sound that I will never forget. It was like some kind of, like I was being shook to my core, some kind of instant vibration. And as soon as I vibrated for like a split second, and then everything was calm. And I looked back, and that thing was not there anymore, but I was still in the same park. But the park was empty, nobody around. But it was still the same exact park to the T. Everything was the same swing sets, the same benches, the same everything, but the park was empty, completely empty. And in front of my face, I saw what I thought were these long weeds. They were brown, almost like wheat. They looked like wheat to me because they were these brown, long weeds with like a barrel at the top almost. And they were in front of my face, a lot of them. So I felt like I had to push them out of the way so I can walk through these things. So I put my arms out in front of me, and I started to push them out of the way, but nothing, and they were moving, but nothing was touching my hand. I was moving these things out of the way, these weeds. I was thinking that they were weeds, but nothing was actually touching my body. I was moving them, but nothing, my hands did not touch it, you know, and I clearly remember that. And then I started to walk towards the back of the park, and I only got like 5 minutes here, so I'm going to try to wrap this up. And I'll continue this on another, you know, this Fae Chronicles, I will continue on another show for sure. So let me get to this real quick, because I know I don't want to leave you guys hanging. So I move these weeds out of the way, and like I said, they didn't touch my hands. So I start to walk towards the back of the park, and in the back of the park, they have several tables. I don't know if they're still there now to this day, but they had several tables there with four bolted down seats at each table where people can play cards or dominoes or whatever. There's four seats to each table, you know, like a little table for poker kind of, but they're like bent, you know, bolted down. And I started to walk towards those tables. And as I'm walking towards them, I realize I'm not alone in this park, okay? I start seeing all these little beings sitting at these tables. And they are little people, but they are all exactly alike. And the best way I can describe these little people is that they look like little Eddie Munsters or little Dave Navarros from Jane's Addiction. They had a pronounced widow's peak, a very pale Dracula face, that pronounced widow's peak. They had these little nubs over their eyebrows, not pointy horns, but like nubs. And they were wearing this skin-tight yellow and red outfit, sort of like it was their skin, but it wasn't their skin. It was really tight and was yellow and red. And they had this painted-on smile that I will never forget. It was this... They all had the same exact face, the same exact features, and the same exact painted-on devilish smile, where it was just like a Joker, kind of like a weird painted-on smile that cut right through your soul when you looked at this smile. It was like it had an evil thing to it, where it's like bone-chilling, you know. So as I'm looking at these beings and I'm walking past each one of the tables, each table was filled with four of these, and they were all playing cards. Like they had cards in their hand. Each table were playing cards. And as I'm walking past each table, they're turning slowly and looking at me with that painted on smile, each one of them. So then I walk up to one of the tables, and now this whole experience was about 5 minutes. So I walk up to one of these tables and I see what they're playing, and they have these cards in their hands. And I saw this big red diamond in the middle of the card, and it was like outlined in red. And in the middle of the diamond, it was clear, but it was like outlined in red. And I start to look inside the diamond, and I start to see things about my life, things that I did when I was a kid, things that happened to me, bad things, good things, stuff from my life. And then I hear in my head, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. It's not all about you. And then, like, I start muttering to myself, it's not all about me. It's not all about me. And while this was happening, I thought I was having an actual orgasm, but I actually was peeing myself, because I realized later on I had urinated. But it felt so good what was happening that I thought I was having an orgasm. So as I'm muttering, it's not all about me. It's not all about me. I look back into the diamond, and now I see dinosaurs battling each other. And they're actually big and feathered and purple and it's like a T-Rex looking thing, but it's actually like really feathered and purplish, and they're battling each other while the world is burning. And then I see humans, and they're battling each other, and they're looting stores while the world is flooding and burning and apocalyptic. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm sucked back out of it, you know, and I'm sitting there, and everything's like back to normal again. The park is full with people. Next to me is this kid. He's standing there with a glass of lemonade. I grabbed the lemonade out of his hand, and I'm drinking this lemonade like it's saving my life, you know, and I still love lemonade. Like, this, like that lemonade saved me. And, you know, I wander out of the park. I felt like I was having another orgasm, actually, and I was actually urinating again. And I wandered out of the park into the alleyways on 2nd Street or 1st Street right there, and I was hovering behind a garbage can. And just my arms around my knees, sitting on the floor, rocking back and forth, like muttering, it's not all about me. It's not all about me, you know, muttering. And like, I didn't think I was going to, like, my sanity would return. And then my friend James walks by, and he's like, dude, Ra, where have you been? I've been looking for you for a day and a half. And he's like, dude, you look like crap. Like, what's wrong with you? You look all sucked in. Like, your face, what's wrong with you? And so he was looking at me for, I lost a day and a half's time for those 5 minutes that I experienced in Cesar Chavez Park. And I really feel that I entered the realm of the Fae on that day. And find this and more encounters on my YouTube channel on Exploring the Ka with host Ra Castaldo. And you can find me at themysticalspiral.com. Each and every day I'm adding more information on my YouTube. I want to thank everybody at Para X Radio. I want to thank my amazing producer, Sarge, everybody in the chat room, everybody listening in the World Wide Web, and everybody in general. I want to say thank you. I love you all. Have a beautiful, safe night. And thanks for letting me share this experience with you. And I hope you're looking forward to another Fae Chronicle in the future. Next week, we have Peter Moon, and we're going deep down the spiral of psychotronics. Thanks for joining me again, and Spiral out.
I want to hold you inside the fire, clean flames reflecting inside your iris. Oh, take my eyes off of the sky. When you force that smile, rain clouds.